some molten, some metal, hot metal, had somehow gotten into his boot and burned his foot. So he has third degree burns inside on his feet, and so his feet are probably not looking real good. I would not think. But we're gonna talk about what it's like to have good looking feet. And I don't think anybody is gonna. We're not gonna go around and check everybody's feet today. Just relax. Don't worry about that. Well, we're gonna take a look at Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It says, "But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning the faith that we proclaim." And here's the message: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So those are the feet we're going to be talking about today. It's important to know what salvation, how we attain salvation. And in this chapter, Paul tells us it's very simple. It's very simple. First of all, he wants it's his desire and it's our desire that everyone, that each person would find salvation through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, it says, this is Paul talking, he says, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." So Paul, who had been Saul, he wanted, his one desire and his prayer was that the people that he had been a part of, the Jews, that they would come into a saving grace, a saving relationship with God. And it's interesting, it's not just his desire. He wanted it, and he didn't just want it, but he did something about it. He prayed for them. He prayed that it would take place. And we can do the same thing. We could desire that someone that we know would come into a saving relationship with Christ. But if we just want it and we don't do anything about it, it's probably not going to come about. But if we want it and we pray about it and we ask God for that person's heart and for their soul and for their life to change and be softened, I think that's important. Matthew 18:14 says, "In the same way your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." He doesn't want anyone. God doesn't want anyone to lose out. He wants everybody to come into relationship with him. He wants everyone to spend eternity with him. He's not willing that any would perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient with you." How many of you are glad that God is patient with you? Yes, I am glad. And instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. It's not his desire that anyone would go there. It was created, hell was created for Satan and his demons. And it's not his desire that we would go there. It's his desire that we would spend eternity with him. So instead of being, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to come into that relationship with you, with him. So salvation is available for all. It's for everybody. It's not just for select groups. It's open for for everyone. In verse 9, he tells us what we have to do. And the first one is confess with our mouth what? Jesus is Lord. Yeah, that's pretty easy. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And then he says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So when he was writing this, and he was writing to the Romans, and he says, confess with your mouth Jesus and Lord, Jesus is Lord, he used the word kurios, which is shows divinity, shows that it's God. So when he's calling him that Jesus was Lord, kurios, he's ranking for the Gentiles, he's ranking him equal to the emperor. So in those times, you know, the emperor was considered a god, and for the Jews, he was ranking Jesus equivalent with God the Father. So it was a bold statement that he was saying. So it was hard for people to do at that time. It was hard for them to confess with their mouth. So confess means to agree with, recognizing what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And then you have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then what? You will what? Be saved. That's pretty simple, right? We in our lives maybe make it a little bit difficult and hard and crazy, but it's pretty simple. It's right there. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. Verse 10, he says, with the heart we what? With the heart we believe and are justified. So it's not just, like Pastor Al said at the beginning of the service, it's not just up here, it's not just our head, but it's our heart. It's our heart. With our heart we believe. And then he says, with our mouth we confess. We confess and are saved. So it's an inward belief. We believe within our head and our heart. And then it's an outward confession as to who Jesus Christ is. That Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. And putting our trust in him. So we're saved by grace. It's not something that we can do to gain it. But it takes action on our part. We have to confess. We have to believe, and we have to call on him. And God's righteousness is not, it's not gained by works, not by something that we do. It's not by, so I worked at Food Fill Up a couple weeks ago, and because of that, then I'm one step up. I'm closer to heaven than you are that didn't work Food Fill Up. You know, Bob's okay because he worked Food Fill Up too, so he's getting closer and closer to heaven. But it's not just works that get us there. Instead, we gain it by confessing who Jesus Christ is and believing in what he did for us and what Jesus Christ did for us. So that's important to know about salvation. So salvation is very simple. It's right there, and it's very easy, and it's available for all. I think another thing that's important to see is that salvation's available for all, and that there's no difference between people. It doesn't matter who you are or what your background is or where you grew up, whether you're a Green Bay Packer fan or if you're a Miami Dolphin fan. God loves us all the same. You don't believe that, I know, but it's true. It's true. He says there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. And in those days, there was a big difference between Jews and Gentiles. Jews were the chosen people, and if you were a Gentile, you were just to be avoided. It was not right for even Jesus to go in and to talk to the Gentiles. Same with the early church. It was only for those who had been changed, who were Jews and had been converted to Christ. But we're all the same in his eyes. It says, the same Lord is Lord of all. The same Lord is Lord of all. 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 He says, he blesses all who call on him. All. We have the same footing when it comes to salvation. in this area, if my last name ended with ski, that would not gain me any closer into eternity, because I was Polish and I could enter into heaven because I'm one step ahead of everybody else. Or if I was back in Hermiston, Oregon, and my last name was Hernandez or Rodriguez, I would not be any closer to heaven if I was Hispanic. Or growing up in Miami, you know, if I was Jewish or if I was Hispanic or whatever, Haitian. None of those things matter with God. We're all the same in his eyes. It doesn't matter what our ethnic background is. Doesn't matter how much money we have. Doesn't matter what we do for a living, or if we have a job, or if we don't have a job. We're all on equal footing. I think we got it. And then he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. So just some people? Everyone who does what we talked about, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. So all who call on him. But we have to do something. We have to call on him. It takes action on our part. So at some point, you came to a point where you said, okay, I want God to forgive my sins. I want him to cleanse me. And I want a relationship with him. I asked him to be my Lord and my Savior. And I was changed. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we have to do something. We confess, we believe, and we call on him. And that salvation is immediate. The instant that we do that, salvation has come to our heart. Sometimes we don't feel different. We don't feel any different, maybe sometimes. But Jesus Christ comes in and he has instantaneously changed our hearts and will begin to do a work in us. So there are five questions that have to do with what our feet look like. Five questions that we're going to look at. And this is the problem. The first one is, how can they call? How can they call on what? How can they call on the one they have not believed in? So he's got questions, and he Paul is pretty clever in the way he words his questions. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And then he says, how can they believe? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? So he says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in, first of all? And then how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And then how can they hear? He takes the last word of each sentence and he brings it back into the next question. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? You see how that works? So he says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? Pretty good questions. And then he ends that portion of scripture and he says, how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news? How beautiful are the ones who bring good news? Those who preach or share the gospel are partners with God for the salvation of men. Each of us partnering with God so that people can come into a relationship with Christ. Feet talk about activity, about motion, about progress, about moving. Oh, you're way ahead of me. Don't let those feet go up there yet. It's too late now. They're there. Everybody knows. So, feet speak of activity, motion, and progress. The lost have to hear so they can call upon the Lord. Someone has to be willing to go. I have to go somewhere to share the message. Someone has to be willing to send. If I'm going far away to share the message, that someone has to send me. So when Pastor Al and Stephanie decided that God determined that God wanted them to go overseas for missions, then someone had to be willing to send. And part of that group that was willing to send was Evergreen, to send them. So that their people are sent by God and they're sent by the church. Men, women, and children sharing the gospel is God's choice for bringing salvation to others. Men, women, and children sharing the gospel is God's choice for bringing salvation to others. He uses people. And it doesn't matter, again, who we are. God can use us to bring the message of salvation. People can't hear about the message of salvation unless we go, unless somebody tells them. And there are people in the Stevens Point area who have never heard the salvation message. You may think that that's absurd, that's crazy. They may have heard religion, and they may have heard tradition, and they may have heard some things, but they may not have heard that the salvation message of what Jesus Christ that we talked about here, Romans chapter 10, all you have to do is believe or confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts and call upon him, and then we're going to be saved. There are people in Stevens Point who have not heard that message. Matthew chapter 28 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Acts 1:8 says that we're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You could say, I want you to be witnesses in Stevens Point, in Green Bay, in Chicago, in the world. He wants us to go different places. But Stevens Point is one of those places. So what do our feet look like? This is what our feet should look like. I'm not saying go out and get tattoos on your feet. But that's the world. That's a map of the world on whoever's feet those were. And it just spoke to my heart. How beautiful are the feet of those who share the good news, who bring the good news of the gospel. And that's what our feet should look like, not all gnarly and nasty and have all kinds of problems and hooked toes and whatnot. You can have hooked toes and still, doesn't matter what your feet look like on the, you know, what they look like. This is what they look like when you are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So what do our feet look like? These are questions that we need to ask. Who is God asking each of us individually? Who is God asking me to speak to? Is it somebody at work? Is it a family member? Sometimes that's hard. Is it someone at school? Is it a neighbor? Who is God asking me to speak to? Where is God asking me to go? He may not be asking you to go to Afghanistan like others, but he may be asking you to go just into Plover at Walmart, at the line at Walmart at with the checker, and someone who you have developed a relationship with over time, and they know you, and you can go just something as simple as that, or you can go to Rochelle, to the school, or to Wapaka, to the foundry, or to wherever you work and whatever you do. Where is God asking you to go? You know, he sent us to Thailand. We went to Vietnam. We've been to a bunch of states around the United States. I've been different places for the military. But where is God asking you to go? You know, there may be people that he is calling to missions, and he is asking you to go far, far away. But most of the time, he's asking us to go local, and he's asking us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them who share the gospel, who share the good news of Jesus Christ. So, who's God asking you to speak to? Where is he asking you to go? And are you willing to be obedient? Are you willing to be obedient? So if he asks you to go to someone, and he says, I want you to go talk to such and such, and you say, no, God, that person, he hates you. He hates God. He hates everything about God. I don't want to go talk to them because I know what the end course is going to be. It does not matter what. You don't have to worry about their response. All you have to worry about is doing what God asks us to do, and that's to share the gospel. To share the gospel. Three things that we read here. B is what? Believe. C is what? Confess. So believe that Jesus raised him from, or that God raised him from the dead. C is confess that Jesus is Lord. And then everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's very simple. Next week we're going to talk about sharing our testimony. How do we do that? And we're going to have some examples. So if there are people who are interested in a homework assignment, see me after service and I will give you one. But it's important to share the good news. And sometimes we think, oh, I can't do it. I'm not good at talking. I'm not good with what I have to say. But we're going to talk about it next week. Sharing our testimony. Our testimony is, you know, we can share our testimony in a 2 or 3 minute time frame. And we could tell somebody, this is the way I used to be. This is what happened to me. This is the way I am now and what God's doing in my life. And it's very, very, very easy. And so, who is God asking you to speak to? Where is God asking you to go? Are you willing to be obedient? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that tells us that we can have salvation and that it can be very special in our lives and that relationship with you can be so awesome. And I just pray that that we would remember how important that is and what you have given us, that free gift of eternal life. That gift of salvation. I pray, Father, that we would take that message and in turn be able to share it with others that we are in contact with, you know, whether it's at work, Father, or family, or school, or neighbors, or around the world, or close by. Our desire that is that we would be used of you, that Evergreen would be a lighthouse in the community, first of all, but that we as individuals would be lighthouses for you, that we would have beautiful feet, that we would have beautiful feet because of what we are doing, what you have asked us to do. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May we have beautiful feet, O God. May you prepare our hearts and our spirits to be able to share with those that we have relationship with. Begin to speak to our hearts, O God, as to who we're to talk to, as to who we're to share with. I pray for your anointing upon each person in this congregation, that you would, Holy Spirit, touch them, and begin to stir within their hearts names with whom they need, that of people who need salvation, and that they would begin to pray for those people, and that you would open doors, Father, that they would be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the importance of what of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to Stevens Point and Plover and Amherst and Almond and all the surrounding areas and Custer, oh God, that you would touch the people all in this area, that they would come into a saving knowledge of you. Just pray that you would be with us as we go from this place today, Lord. And we love you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, if you want that homework test, that homework assignment, you come see me. And if you have a prayer request and you like prayer, you can come up at the end of the service. We're going to have some music going. And all right.